Well, I'm happy to do it. I just hope. How many decades? Okay. Oh, really? Oh. How many are they for? Right, yeah. Okay. Well, let's see, can I answer them? Well, when everybody realized that I was blind, I really don't know what they expected, because they were just satisfied taking care of me. And well, but when they found out about this school that they had, see, we didn't know anything about the school at that time. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. And the school was in a little town called Talladega, about 60 miles away from Birmingham. Well, my dad did not want that to happen. He was so protective of me. Well, my mom was too, but this lady came to the house one day and told them about this school, and she said that I should go because, I needed some kind of an education. And so she convinced my mom. My dad never was convinced, but he let me go. This lady drove me and my mom up to this school one Wednesday afternoon, September 12th, 1939. I'll never forget it. I remember it as if it were yesterday. And when I got up there, they took me to the principal's office to register me. And when they left me up there, I thought the world had come to an end, because I didn't know nobody, 7-year-old boy, among strangers. It was a real rough time for me at that time. Well, it was one of the main courses. We had piano, guitar, voice. It wasn't the main thing. I take that back. Vocation was the main thing that they were interested in. There was the opportunity to take up music, yeah. It was my introduction. We had radio. I listened to the radio, but as far as being, introduced to music, no. That was my first introduction to it. Well, I was singing around the house before I went to school. I was singing around the house about when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I was mostly country music, some gospel, but we had this at that time, they didn't call it country music back then. They called it hillbilly. And so that was just about all we could get back at that time, you know, hillbilly music. So I was brought up on that, and I love it still. The Delmore Brothers, that is absolutely correct. The Delmore Brothers was my first, I guess that would be my first musical treat to hear the Delmore Brothers. They came on every day at 6:15 in the morning. That's correct. Well, I don't know exactly how to answer that. Only thing I do now, we had a quartet that we would listen to that influenced us a great deal. This was the Golden Gate Quartet. It was a black group, you know. They had Real Close Harmony also, and we would listen to them. They had a program every afternoon at 4 o'clock called Echoes of the South, and they would come on. They would play these people would play their records, and we would listen to them. And we thought that, you know, if they could do that, so could we. So we decided to take some songs and try to, as you say, roughen it up some. And evidently we did. So that's the way that started. Well, they were mostly old songs, like Every Time I Feel the Spirit. I can't think of many now off the top. That's been a long time ago. That's correct. That's right. Yeah, they were predominantly traditional songs, you know, songs, you know, like I said, Down by the Riverside and all that, you know, it was mostly traditional stuff that everybody knew. You know, it's funny you ask me that. You know, when I realized I was blind, my mom and dad had 6 boys. We didn't have any girls, and I was the youngest one. And all of those guys could see except me. So I did question them. I said, "Why me? Why me?" But now I understand. You know, God has a way. He can see farther than we can. If I had been able to see, I doubt very seriously if I would be doing what I'm doing now. I think that he I asked him. I said, "Why me? Why did you take my sight away?" You know, and I asked him to give it back to me. He wouldn't do it. I know why now. Like I say, if he had, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't. But okay. The answer is, I think singing and giving out the gospel message was my calling, and if I had been able to see, I wouldn't do that. So he took my sight away in order for him to be glorified in me. You know, I feel that this is my calling, this is my work, this is my purpose in life. to sing his praises, tell the people about him, and try to touch somebody's life. That is what I feel that that was my calling. That is my work. This is my mission. And so, you know, I don't question him now. I realize this is why he did that to me, to give me a chance to do what he wants me to do. Yeah, Columbus, yeah. Well, I know that you know when you are deprived of a sense, the other senses are more manifest. Like you say, you can hear better, you can catch a vibration better, and you do have a vision. It's hard to explain. But you do have a vision of some kind, you know, that you can. I don't say you can discern anything, but you it's just something that you have that when God takes a sense away from you, He gives you the other four. It's something that he enhances, you know, about that. So I don't know exactly. I think he is on to something because, you know, like I say, you know, it's you can hear better, you can think, a lot of things you can do, you know, I probably can hear better than you can. The Blue Jays was from Birmingham, and there was another group there that called the Ensley Jubilee Singers. They were from Birmingham. I think we were influenced by them, and like you say, we did hear the Soul Stirrers, the Pilgrim Travelers, the Fairfield Four, all of those groups that we heard them on the radio. Well, the Happy Land Jubilee Singers, when they when they were putting the group together. We had the Soul Stirrers and the Pilgrim Travelers. I would say they sang straight harmony. The Happy Land Jubilee Singers came up with an idea that that was called, I guess the only way I can describe it is we did a thing that was called inverted harmony. In other words, we had a top singer, a middle singer, and a bottom singer. Whether the straight harmony was just a lead tenor, baritone, and bass. The inverted thing was, I would have to say the lead singer, don, 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 and, but the inverted, don, 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 you know, it was, that's the only way I can describe it, but it was different. Yeah, well, we had plenty of energy. Yeah, plenty of passion, plenty of emotion. Yeah. Well, Lee came to the Blind Boys and presented the idea to them, and we got together with him and Bob Telson and Clarence Fountain, Sam Butler, got together, and they got together with Lee Brewer, and they talked about it and they discussed it, and that's how it was born. Yeah, well, you know, Lee is a genius. Lee is a creative guy. He comes up with all types of ideas, and so my first remembrance is when I had to learn to do the steps to stop, do not go on. You know, you have to. It's a teaching. You have to go to school for a minute. Yeah. So that was a challenge. Well, my favorite moment is when they lower us down into that little cave or hole or something, you know, and we are there for a moment, and then we are raised up again. That's when Oedipus dies, and he's brought back. Well, it's just when you be coming up and the choir starts singing and, you know, you be resurrected, and that's I just like that. That's my favorite part. They did. Dixie Hummingbird, right, yeah. Well, you know, the Blind Boys, all of us were brought up in a Christian environment, and we were determined that we would never deviate from our gospel roots. Now, when Sam Cooke was offered his, you know, when he decided to change and go over to R&B, we were in the studio at the same time. We were offered the same deal that he was offered, but he accepted it. We turned it down. Sam was a great singer. He went over there and did good too. So, you know, and it was not. In my opinion, Sam still stuck to his roots, even though he went away and, you know, did a lot of R&B, but, you know, his he didn't leave his gospel. But we turned it down. We told the guys that, you know, we were gospel singers and we were going to stay that way. Well, we just, you know, there's a lot of gospel in Gospel at Colonna. So I guess we made ourselves comfortable knowing that we really didn't deviate. You know, we just, you know, did something new. That's all. Well, like I say, when we started out, we were singing to predominantly black audiences, and when Colonna came, especially when they took Colonna to Broadway, I think that really exposed us to the mainstream, and we were known by the mainstream, but we never was able to get to them because of the color line, the color barrier, all that segregation, all that stuff. But when we got to Broadway and the people saw us, they wanted to hear us, and you know, that opened the door for us to be exposed to the mainstream of white audiences mostly. Now our audiences are mostly now white, you know. It's the same message, yes. No, I didn't. I listened to Blind Bob Fuller. Yeah, and Blind Willie McTell. Yeah, but Blind Willie Johnson, I listened to him some, but not as much as I did to these guys. Yeah. Oh yeah, well that was before my, yeah. Well, it's a complete difference, because now when I was the only real opportunity that the blind people had back then for with education was going to the caning chairs, making brooms and mops, just physical hand stuff. Now you got computers, you got blind people that can do just about anything a sighted person can do. Technology has progressed so much that blind people can, you know, make a decent living. Back then, you had to a broom maker or a mop maker couldn't they made a little money, but it wasn't that much. But now you got blind people that make $100,000 a year. That's correct. They will continue to overcome because as long as there's a God, that will be gospel. So we're not worried about that. Well, it's been a wonderful to me. I hope I said something that you know, that helped, you know. Thank you so much for having me, and I enjoyed myself. Thank you.